Okay, good morning. Wow. Thanks, guys. That's the biggest worship band we've ever had. We've been a year in. It's beautiful. Emmanuel, that last note, I wasn't sure I was going to, all the notes, but that last one especially. Okay, we're going to continue on our series about freedom in worship. And actually, we've started that already this morning. Okay, the first 10 minutes of what I had prepared, we've pretty much covered already. We're going to look specifically at corporate worship this morning. That is our time together on a Sunday, that thing that we've just been doing. My prayer is that wherever you are on your walk, your journey with God, whether you've worshipped him your entire life or whether you're just getting to know him, or even if you don't know him, that you will take something away from this morning. And I hope it's his heart for you. There's this old Tim Hughes song from early 2000s called Consuming Fire. And the chorus says, consuming fire, fan into flames, a passion for your name, Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. And I've been praying that all morning for you guys, for us. The bridge, it says, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, a passion for your name. And that's where I want to get to today, okay? So I will warn you, I'm going to sing, probably. And I'm probably going to cry, and maybe both together at the same time. It's one of those messages. And it's been a really, really hard message to write. I had this layout about 3 or 4 weeks ago when Danny and Ade shared what we're going to be preaching on. God kind of told me exactly what he wanted me to speak about. But I've really felt under attack as I've written it. I felt like my integrity as a worshiper has really been called into question, and it's been really hard. It's been really hard to write. And actually, some of this will land quite heavy, maybe uncharacteristically heavy for me. And I please know I share it with love, and I share it because I feel that's what the Lord is speaking to us, but also because, I know where he wants us to go as worshipers. So before I look specifically at worship on a Sunday morning, let's just talk quickly about the Sunday morning, like why we come together on a Sunday anyway. Because I thought that would be really helpful to understand because those things are linked, why we come together on a Sunday, why we worship together on a Sunday, and who we worship. And those things are linked by our heart. It's a heart thing. It's a posture of our heart that we come together, that we worship together, and that we worship at all. And you're probably thinking, yeah, but I'm already here. I mean, I can see you. You're here. You've made it. It's important. And I get that. But, we all know there are times when it is hard to come on a Sunday, when we don't want to be here, frankly, when we're tired, when we don't feel like it. Or maybe you're watching this online and actually you struggle to even come to a church. This is for you as much. So why do we meet on a Sunday morning? So Danny often welcomes us on a Sunday morning with a phrase. Yeah, we're the people of God. Coming into the presence of God, singing the praises of God. Yeah, that is why we meet together on a Sunday morning. Because we are the collective of people of God. We are the church in Rothie. We are his people in Rothie. We come together to be in the presence of God together, to sing the praises of God. Okay, so a few real quick nuggets of why we meet on a Sunday. You've seen this already. The first one is it encourages us. Hebrews 10 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as the day approaches. So we meet to spur each other on, to encourage each other. And we've seen that this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as you are already doing. So, we are one body. And when that body is together and is in unity, it brings a blessing. If you get time later, go and read one Psalm 113. It's like four sentences, but it finishes by saying, you know, where there is unity, God bestows a blessing. Or in the King James, it says, God commands a blessing. So, you know, we come together so that there is unity in the body, to be blessed, to be encouraged, to be edified, to be lifted up. So we meet as a family. And Danny, do you remember you, I can't remember what the message was, but in a response, you saying, we are family. Do you remember that? I can't remember what it was. You probably did it so that I could preach about it one day. But, you know, we're a family, right? We come together because we need each other. We need to be encouraged. You know, and the simple truth is I need you, and hopefully you need me. I said this to the men yesterday at the breakfast. You know, we need each other. I need to hear what God is saying to you, what he's laid on your heart, the prophetic words or pictures he's given you. I need to hear the overflow of your heart when you are worshiping, or to see you dancing. I mean, I didn't know that I needed to see Joman dancing in the spirit until I saw it. You know what? We were at the Horsham Together worship event a couple of weeks ago, and I was feeling really flat. I was really struggling. And then Joman just kicks off next to me dancing, and I just thought, that's what I needed. It just lifted me. And actually, I got Joman to my left, and I had Danny and Ade in front going for it. And do you know what? You know, we talk about leadership, and we talk about following what people model, and seeing Danny and Ade just going for it. You know, it lifted me up, and with Joman as well, it just brought me to a place where I needed to be so that I could press in and worship. So thank you guys for being obedient. You know, you couldn't stay for the whole thing, but know that the time you were there had a massive impact on me. So the other reason we come on a Sunday is actually it shows the priority of our hearts. It says this is important to us. It testifies when we don't go to the car boot sale on a Sunday. You know, I was really excited when we moved to Horsham. I thought, oh, I'm going to, you know, maybe I would join the running club or the cycling club. Oh, yeah, but they meet on a Sunday morning. Okay, well, I won't do that then. It testifies. And it says that this is important. And that, you know, that's why we're here. And then finally, we come because we meet with God. And we talked about that. We're the people of God coming to the presence of God, singing the praises of God. But we come to see him move. We come to see him work in power in the lives of the family as we worship him. Okay, so that's why we come together on a Sunday. But let's maybe just zero in on worship then. So it won't be a surprise to you that hopefully you will know that you are created to worship. And that's not just for the people who find what we call worship easy. We were all, as a human race, created to worship. That's how God made us. But you know, our hearts are fickle, and we gravitate to things of the world. We would say money, sex, and power, but Will Murray would say pounds, petticoats, and power, because he's, you know, because he had a quite a way about him. You know, the Bible calls that idolatry, essentially. When we worship with our hands, what our hands are created, when we worship things that are not of God, this is idolatry. The Bible makes it really clear that actually the greatest issue facing us is not whether we worship, but what we worship, who we worship. So if worship could be defined as like the expression, the outpouring of our hearts to God, our love for God, you know, just the overflow, delighting in the Lord, or just simply our heart's response to who God is. It's a heart thing. Worship, it's about our hearts. And I think that is the theme this morning, actually. So, you know, while we're talking about corporate worship, we're talking about what is our heart when we come together. What is our heart in worship? What is our heart for him? What is his heart for us? You know, our love for God should be outworked through our entire lives, actually, not just a Sunday morning. Clearly, trying to fit our love for God in a 15-minute window is not correct. So actually, it's poured out through the way that we spend time in his word, the way that we spend time in quiet time. And these are the things that fuel us in our worship. But specifically, for a Sunday morning, you know, our worship is singing praise. It's rejoicing in his goodness. It is singing truth to our circumstances. It's giving thanks for all he has done in our lives. Being led by the Spirit as we worship him, because he's worthy of our praise, actually. And because our hearts are in this posture of love, of thanksgiving, of obedience to him, and we're doing it anyway. Singing songs actually builds an intimacy in our relationship with God. When we're declaring who he is, the things he's done, it builds our faith. It reminds ourselves, you know, as we speak these words, we hear them, our heart feels them, and I'll come on to that in a bit. But the scripture tells us that God actually inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And this isn't the nation of Israel, this is the congregation of Israel. That's us, that's the church. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Or as the King James says, this is great, and I'm going to probably get it wrong. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Thou that inhabits, sits in, dwells in, sit, you know, is within. There's something really tangible in that word. You know, God is not just receiving our praises. He's in them. He's inhabiting them. He's on them. He's enthroned on them of his people, of you. So as we worship, he builds a throne. You know, we sing that song, and as we worship, build your throne. But also, he builds a throne in our hearts. You know, it's what we're saying is, in the throne of my heart, Lord, you know, you are Jesus, you are the Lord. Come be on the throne of my heart this morning. You know, we need to hear that sometimes. We need to remind ourselves that actually, yes, I can declare that you're the Lord of heaven, but maybe not of my heart. That in itself is, you know, we need to push through that. And we worship, we sing scripture. Intentionally, songs are written around scripture because scripture describes truth of who God is. So we're singing that truth. And God's word doesn't return void. And I'll explain what that means, because it's one of those phrases you hear, but you don't necessarily always understand what it means. In Isaiah 55, God gives this beautiful picture of, and what he says is, the rain and snow that I give doesn't come back up to heaven until it's watered and nourished the ground. Right? He's describing the water cycle. If you can remember that from school, rain comes down, and he said, and it comes back to me, but not until it's watered and given life. And he said, it's in the same way, my word that I've given out through scripture, that I've given out through prophets, doesn't return back to me as people sing it, as people read it out loud, as they pray it. It doesn't return back to me until it has given life, until it is restored, healed. Okay, so as we sing words, as we sing scripture, truth to who God is, it gives life to our mortal bodies. It fills us up. And actually, the NIV says it makes things flourish. So it makes things bud and flourish. It talks about life being created from scripture. That's what it means when God says, my word doesn't return void to me. And that's why we sing scripture. That's why we use scripture in our prayers. That's why we memorize it and remember it and speak it out, because it's the truth. So we come together and we sing praises. Oh, I'm way off my notes. Right, let's get back in. Right, we come together to sing praise together. And the key here is we do it together. That's that corporateness. Okay, so we see in scripture that the gathered people of Israel coming together. We sang about Jericho earlier. We see. And, you know, that brought the walls down. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in prisons, people together praying, walls coming down. You know, what do we expect to happen when we praise together? Are we expecting chains to break and walls to come down? If not physical walls and chains, what about spiritual walls and chains? What do we expect to happen? Because we see that happening in the Bible. That's what we see happens when the Lord says, praise me. Praise me as a people and love me. We see walls coming down. We see chains being broken. That's what we should be expecting. This whole series is about freedom to worship. You know, God said, let my people go so that they may worship. What do we expect to happen when we worship? You know, and on that, what do we worship from? So we come on a Sunday, and it's the quality of that worship that can break chains and tear down walls. Is that based on how good our week has been? Or is our week based on how good our worship has been on a Sunday? Are we worshiping from a place of lack and tiredness on a Monday to Friday that's been tough? Or actually, is our Monday and Friday better, easier, more sustainable because we are sustained on us from a Sunday, from a worship, from seeing God move and having faith for the things he's doing? And I get it, right? We can all be tired, and it doesn't mean that your worship on a Sunday has been lacking. But actually, there's a shift in our heart that says, actually, Lord, today, build your throne. And I'm going to, you know, that's the point at which I'm going to go out into the week rather than, oh, my goodness, I've had a terrible week. And here I am on a Sunday trying to get in the door. But well done for getting in the door. And I'll come on to that, actually. I mean, that's important. You're here. It is a heart thing. When God's set the Israelites free from Egypt, you know, they were no longer slaves. It meant they were free to worship. So we are no longer slaves. We're not obliged to do the things that slaves were obliged to do. You know, God isn't looking for slaves in worship, actually. Yes, Paul says, I'm a slave to Christ, but not in the context of worship. God is looking for lovers. Lovers of his heart. It's a heart thing. And to help you remember that it's a heart thing, we're going to look at three elements of worship, okay? And it's CPR, yeah? Cardiopulmonary, no. CPR, we are going to look at CPR. And actually, if anyone remember the song for CPR? 88 beats a minute? Staying alive, yeah? So, good, take that away with you as well. Apparently they've changed it, but that's what I was taught. Okay, CPR, come, price, respond. Those are the three things we're going to look at in worship. Come, price, and respond. So the first thing is come. It's a call to worship. And did you know that call to worship together started when you were at home? In fact, it probably started when you were leaving here on Sunday. Because there's something in your heart saying, I want to be back as the assembled people of God, being in the presence of God, singing the praises of God. And JT mentioned this last week. He said, your worship started when you woke up and thought, how can I bless those beautiful body that I'm about to go and worship with? You know, that's you guys. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word or an instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. When you come together. Paul took it for granted that we would be coming together. And that we prepare. He says, when you come, be prepared. So that the church, you and I, may be built up. And we've seen that this morning. Where's Karen? Is she? Karen, you know, I've had this word on my heart all week. And I want to submit it because I think it might be a word for the church. She came prepared. And we'll talk about what that looks like in a minute. But that has a massive impact. This is the priesthood of all believers, because he's not saying when we come, either leader will be prepared with a hymn and a scripture. He says, when you come prepared, because it will impact our meetings. And did you know that your worship may determine the course of us meeting together? But let me rephrase that for a second. Your worship, or lack of it, may determine the course of us meeting together. And that's really heavy. I felt really convicted by that, because there are times when I've come and maybe I'm not pushing in. I'm thinking, have I let my family down by not worshiping? Have I not bringing that word that I thought, have I stopped somebody from receiving something that God had for them? And that's been, you know, this is not intended with any condemnation, but what I'm saying is, guys, press in. See his heart for us as a family. Press in, worship together, bring those words, respond to those words when they're brought. you know, as leaders, we do prepare. You know, like I said, I've had this on my heart for a few weeks, and, you know, Danny's prepared with the band this morning, and Ade's been preparing. So, you know, we are preparing, and we spend time waiting on God. And really the question is can we as a community, as we a family, wait on God and prepare our hearts in a similar way? You know, let's imagine what that might look like. Maybe that's, you know, we're in the prayer meeting and it's overflowing with singing. And then that sort of overflows into here. And as we start our main meeting, you know, there's songs, spontaneous songs being released. There's words being released, pictures. And actually, an interpretation brings clarity and direction for us. And then we continue to worship because of what we see God doing. We're seeing people set free, healed, the lost restored to him. And we worship, just continue to worship. So I do have potentially two cautions, though, in this area of preparation. And the first is, don't let what I've just said get in the way of you bringing what you have. You are not disqualified if you don't come with a spontaneous song. You are not disqualified if you don't have a prophetic word and haven't heard from the Lord this morning. That doesn't say, well, I better stay at home because I haven't heard from God this morning. That, please do not mishear what I've said. We want to be prepared and we want to be in the fullness of worship as a family. And therefore, you know, it's on us all to carry that. But actually, if you can't, then that's not a reason to stay at home. Now, that would be a lie of the enemy. And actually, that's what's been crushing me all weekend is, you know, have I always done what I'm preaching? No, you know, this is a message for me as well. Now, this isn't a formula either. It's not if I bring one song and one picture, then the church will you know, win Rothy. You're a worshiper first. Come, worship. You know, we're figuring this out together. We're just trying to see from Scripture where we can grow in this. My second caution is about when you prepare. It's about preparing our hearts for worship, actually. It's not about putting on a show. Hopefully that's clear. God wants perfect worship, but he doesn't want professional worship. And there is a difference. One reflects the integrity of our hearts, the other, the skill of our hands. And yes, as leaders, we need both. Psalm 78 does say that David shepherded with an integrity of heart and he led with a skill of hands. But it doesn't say that's how he worshipped. Actually, when we see him worship, he's undignified in dancing. The Psalms are full of raw, unedited responses of his heart. And actually, when we see him worshiping, he's taking off those things that denote his profession, his kingly robes. He's actually taking those things off, and he's worshiping, as you know. So yes, when I say prepare your hearts for worship. Come, you know, loving the Lord, but don't think, oh, I need to practice a song, and I'm not sure how that chorus goes, and that's not where I'm going. So just a quick warning there, I guess. But ultimately, it's our lifestyle that is going to shape how we worship. As we become more in love with Jesus, as we daily get into his word, we find him in the quiet place, we spend time in his presence, those are the things that are going to blow apart our worship. Not a formula. It's him. It's as we develop that heart for worship for him because of who he is. So, okay, you've made it to church. You're here. I can testify to that. I can see you. The call to worship was helpful. But we still hear that word come a couple of times in worship. You know, come, let's pray together. That's still our worship. Come out of your chairs. That is worship because it's saying, actually, I'm going to get out from this comfort zone. I'm going to step out with my family in faith. And actually, there's something when you move in the physical that moves in the spiritual. So it's about obedience. You know, come respond to a prophetic word. Or a picture. Come forward if this responds. If this is for you, you know, we also sing this. Come, let us worship our King. Come now is the time of worship. And the reason we sing those is because it's Scripture. Psalm 95, the first two verses of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us collectively. Come. It's an invitation. Come, let us sing to the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud for the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Extol means to sing and to praise enthusiastically. It's a fantastic word. Come, let us worship together. It's an invitation. Actually, it's an invitation that we respond to after we've responded to the invitation that Jesus gave us. And his invitation also is come. You know, come follow me. So we follow, we respond to Jesus, and then we come to worship. Most people will know probably the song, The Heart of Worship. It's a Matt Redman song from the 90s. It was actually born out of a time when there was real apathy in his church at the time. Despite worship being in a bit of a revival in the UK at the time, his church just lost its way in sort of musical worship. So they did something quite radical. They basically stood the band down. They took the PA away, and they said, "Look, we've lost our way in worship. We just need to strip everything away." That first line to the song, she says, "When the music fades, all is stripped away. I simply come." And it was a reminder to the church, actually, that they should be producers of worship, not consumers of worship. That while they had big names producing fantastic songs in their congregation, it didn't add any intimacy to their relationship with God. That had to come from their own hearts. So they asked people, when you come next Sunday, what are you going to bring as your offering to God in worship? And apparently it led to some really embarrassing silences to start with. And you know, because people, oh right, hang on, I'm on the hook now for, am I the worship leader suddenly? Yeah, we're all worship leaders actually. And eventually people broke out in song, heartfelt prayer, and before long they stood the band back up. But you know, that could be our question, isn't it? You know, what are we bringing to God as our offering? Which, you know, it's not a formula. About our hearts. And I recognize there's a cost, right? This brings me on to my second point. So that was come. The second point is price. It should have been cost, but I wanted CPR to work. So it's price. Okay. But actually, now that we're talking about price, what's the difference? Anyone know what the difference between cost and price is? I'm expecting Susanna to say profit or something, which is because she's an accountant. And yes, that's probably a completely different sermon, actually. My view is that the difference between cost and price is what you're willing to pay for something. Price can fluctuate depending on sort of supply and demand. But, you know, as an example, my shoes probably cost £20 to make, but looking at them, I can see my socks through them. So, well, I probably paid more than £20, and that's what, you know, I probably shouldn't have done. Because I was willing to pay. They put them on with a price tag, and I went, yeah, okay, I'll pay that. I bought them at a higher price than they cost. That's, you know, when Jesus saw you and he saw the cross, he didn't look at the price. He knew what he was willing to pay, and he paid it in full. Because you are worth it. It's not one of those hair, you're worth it moments. You are worth it. He loved you before you even knew him. And he said, I want that. I'm willing to pay everything. You know, J. John tells this story about a double-decker bus. And on the bus is a great big sign that says, egg and bacon, the great British breakfast. And it's sort of working its way through the countryside. And it goes past a field. And there's a cow. There's a chicken and a pig in the field, right? And the chicken says, "Look! That sign. We're famous. Wherever that bus goes, it speaks about us. Egg and bacon, the great British breakfast." And the pig says, "Yeah, well, it's okay for you, isn't it? Because you just have to give a contribution. But it cost me my life." And St. Augustine said that Christ is not valued above all unless he's valued. He's not valued at all. Christ is not valued at all unless he's valued above all. And actually, he's not Lord at all if he's not Lord of all. And that's where the price starts coming in. That's where things start getting costly in worship. Actually, because we're saying, if you are Lord of all, then you need to be Lord of this stuff I'm carrying. You need to be Lord of my brokenness, of my tiredness. We saw this morning people tired, you know, but they came and worshipped. We're saying, you are Lord of all. Worship is actually supposed to cost. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. But we also recognize that it can be costly. You know, when Danny asked me to preach on this, you know, Liz and I had a conversation. I'm acutely aware that worship can really cost people because it can be difficult. Whether you've had a difficult week or actually you just really struggle, you know, sometimes all you can do is come through the doors. And if that is a sacrifice, then that is worship. You know, you might say, it's all right for you, Dave. You've got the T-shirt. You're a worship leader. Yes, I do. But we're all worshippers. We're all worship leaders. And if lifting your hands is costly, but you do it anyway, that is worship. Just as costly it is for me to dance, I would say. You know, Liz and I used to go to a church in Korea, and whenever we used to welcome visitors in, guests in, or new members, we'd sort of say, the guy would say, well, if you've got small hands, you know, you can stand here with these guys. If you've got big hands, you can. If you've got these hands, go stand at the back with Dave and Liz, you know, because they're the big sort of rowdy worshippers at the back. You know, and I realize that that's easy for us, right? We that's just our natural response. But dancing is really hard for me. I mean, I can't dance. But I guess here's the encouragement. Don't think that you're doing it wrong if it costs you something. If it's not easy, you're not. Actually, keep doing it, because that is, you know, that is, you're doing it right. If worship costs you something and it's hard, but you do it anyway, then you're doing it right. And actually, what I would say is, over time, those things that cost you may not cost you, and you may have to keep pressing in and finding new ways, new sacrifices of praise. Maybe I need to start dancing. Maybe you guys encourage me in that, okay? I'm not a dancer, but these guys are, so I'll come stand on this side. And come on. So, you know, as Will Murray would say, and I think we sang words to this effect this morning, when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it, until I feel like it. I worship my God when I feel like it. That's easy. I worship my God when I don't feel like it. But I worship him until I feel like it. You know, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That was David telling himself, telling his body, worship the Lord, get up and worship. You know, he was telling his body, get up, stand up, worship, because that is more important than how I feel right now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength. All your strength means dancing. It means using your body. It means physically dancing, maybe. You know, there are times when I don't feel like it, but I've overcome. You have to overcome. And actually, that's why we come together, because that's what encourages us. That's how we build each other up. Okay, I'm running late. So choosing to worship God, or choosing to worship something other than God, is idolatry. We talked about that at the beginning, but actually choosing not to worship God because of our fear is actually us idolizing our fear and us idolizing ourselves and putting ourselves before God. You know, if Christ is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That's what St. Augustine wrote. So if he's not Lord of my dancing, is he Lord at all? I don't know. In Luke 7, and I don't think we'll go there now, I was going to talk about the lady who pours out perfume. It's, you know, it was a lifetime of cost and savings, and she pours it out at Jesus' feet. And the response of people was to sort of scoff and say, you know, she's doing this, either because it's too costly or because she's a woman who sins. But Jesus' response was completely the opposite. When people pour out costly praise to him, he saw their heart, you know. And actually, you know, in different accounts, he either says that this, you know, this is, this woman will be remembered, and people will talk about this whenever the gospel is shared. So there's clearly a link there between the gospel and worship. But he also says, you know, to the people who were embracing and welcoming him, you know, you didn't give me a glass of water, you didn't give me a kiss, you didn't put oil on me. But since she's been here, all she's done is kissed me, cried on me, and poured oil on me. You know, that is costly worship. I'm sure she knew how people thought. I'm sure she was aware that how people would speak about her worship. But she did it anyway. And that links, I guess, my second and third point. So the second point was price. The third point is response. How do we respond? And so we've done the sort of theological piece now. So what we're going to do is practical demonstrations. So what we're going to do is we're going to get some mats out. It's going to be like worship circuit training. Okay, so we're going to do some jumping over here and some, oh, your face, jumping over here. No, we're not really. That would be so cool though. You know, we see a lot of physical response to worship in, I've been talking a lot about the heart. And quite rightly, because that is the place that worship starts. But it's the overflow of our heart that we're trying to get to. That's what worship is. And if our heart is overflowing, our body starts moving, hopefully. Yeah? We had, I don't know if I should say this, when Hope was really little, we were in the car once, and she's like, the music playing, and she's just like, ooh, ooh. Do you know what I'm saying? So I said, you're right. She went, oh, my bottom's dancing. And she's just like, she's just sort of like starts moving. And anyway, so I don't know why I've even, because it's an overflow, right? It's our body's natural response to where we are. She was clearly happy and loved whatever we were listening to. But, you know, what we see in scripture, let's go back to Psalm 95, right? So come, let us sing. So if we do verses 1-7. Come, let us sing for joy. He's singing. Let us shout aloud. I'm not going to do all the actions, I promise. Come, let us bow before him, I think is the next one, and extol him. We did this one earlier. So this is us praising enthusiastically. The Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and the hands form the dry land. This is us. This is David praising. Come, let us bow in worship. Let's kneel before the Lord our makers. We're bowing and we're kneeling, for he is good, and we're the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Come, let us sing for joy. The Bible is full of actions: leaping, jumping, clapping. And Danny's gonna he said that he'd demonstrate them for you all later if you want, but you might remember Danny actually shared a great word on this a couple of, was it weeks, months ago? I don't know. Months, maybe. You know, and he took us through, I think it was 11 acts in the Bible where people, we took us through the Hebrew word. And I would really encourage you to go back and look at that. I'll quote from Karen McRae from the Living Hope. Says that biblical worship is exuberant. What a great word. Exuberant. When you read the Psalms, they are full of joy. And actually, they're also full of doubt and full of pain and anguish, but they're also full of worship. And she says that we sing with all our might. We raise our hands, we clap, we dance. It should be exciting. And I hope this morning, you know, we saw that because it's us giving our whole selves to God. So as we finish and we think about our response, there are two aspects I want us to quickly think about. The first one is responding to who God is. You know, we simplified our definition earlier of worship being a heart's response to who God is. So it is the response of our heart to worship because of who he is. Is it an overflow because of how much we love him? And these things grow as we spend time in the Word, as we spend time, as we know him more. We love him more, we worship him more. Therefore, we spend more time in his presence. Therefore, we love him more. You know, these things they build and they're linked as we know him more. Now, how do we respond to the good news? We've definitely all heard the good news at least once, I'm sure. You know, the good news that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That on the cross, you know, Jesus' perfect sacrifice was given so that those of us who believe in him could have eternal life and live in him. An act of perfect worship. Because his love for us was so great, his love for the Father was so great, that he was obedient, and so was his worship. You know, it was perfect. So just like Moses was bringing slaves out of Egypt, Jesus has broken chains. We sang, "My chains are gone, I've been set free." This morning, now we are free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what Scripture tells us. So free from doubt, free from fear of dancing, free to worship. That is why we're here. You know, and if that is something you struggle with, just encourage you to get someone to pray with you at the end. In Ezekiel, God says that, you know, I will put a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And if you are struggling to connect your heart with who God is, you know, let's pray for that new spirit. It's a beautiful picture of what God can do. Okay, and then so that's responding in worship, responding with our physical bodies. But then there's that response of come. We said come, be prepared, bring pictures. But guys, we need to respond to those pictures. We need to respond to those words when they're given. I feel like we should change our expectation around words that are given. Rather than, is this for me? You know, maybe step forward and ask, is this something that I shouldn't be responding to? Or, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, but don't wait too long for an answer. Go. You know, we're not going to get, there's not going to be an issue if we respond. So if in doubt, step out, worship, come respond, you know, encourage, build up. And like I said, these things just flow out of who worshiping him. They flow out of our time with him. Right, very final point. It occurred to me that I've been baptized 20 years ago. I've probably been to 1,000 church services. I think we can lose the wonder of who God is when we see him move, when we see him breaking through in people's lives. And I want us to get that back. So I want to invite Petra to come forward. Hopefully you all know Petra. This is Petra Pendleton. Do you know, the first day that Petra came, I was preaching. Wasn't I? Yeah, about 3 months ago. And she gave her life in the service. And do you know what? There was this moment when you're thinking, oh, I did that. Oh, that was me. And God is really good at keeping us humble, because I was talking to Anna after, she went, yeah, isn't that great news? It was the worship. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. I haven't got to carry that. You know, it was, you know, Jack and Jemima blessed us with worship. Actually, it was at that moment, seeing the people of God worshiping their God, that Petra said, I want this. I want to know this God. And that's why I've asked Petra to come forward, because actually it was about the way she responded the first time she saw worship, true worship, and the people of God worshiping. So we've got about 2 minutes, okay? All right, so a couple of quick questions. So what was it like the first time you came?
Well, when I came here, the people were so warm towards me and so friendly, and I did really not expect this. I had that feeling that they actually knew me. So there was this peace, and I could sense the presence of God, and I felt like I was at home.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Wow. How was it different? I mean, what did you expect?
Right. So when I was invited by Emmanuel, I thought, well, I'll come and have a look. You know, probably there will be music, and I like music. And, you know, I'll probably meet some nice people, you know. But I did not expect that on that day I'll become a Christian. Yeah. So I was, shall we say, transformed by Jesus.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. And, let's say that.
It was really profound for me on awesome. That day when I come. Yeah. So I had tears in my eyes. Yeah. I actually cried. So.
Yeah. Beautiful. And what was the first thing that you noticed that was different about this?
Right. So when I come, actually, I looked around at people and I thought how at ease they were praying. And like you were saying, you know, everyone was different. Some, they had open arms. They were praying with open arms. Some were more silent, perhaps. Some were dancing. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is really free way of worshiping, you know. And I love that, you know. And of course, I was a little bit first shy because, you know, but yeah, it just opened just with the actual Holy Spirit coming down. I actually, the chains were broken. So I did not think anymore what other people think, because I could sense so strongly that feeling. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Give her a... Okay, thank you. So thank you so much, Petra. We hadn't actually sort of prepared too much of that. That was wonderful. Thank you. And I thought it was just really helpful. You know, that is how God sees our worship. That is what... So if we don't see it that way, we need to sort of take this, you know, pray that the scales fall off our eyes, that we would see worship as being beautiful, that we would see our dancing, our singing. It doesn't say anywhere, sing in tune. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It doesn't say, and actually it says, with clashing cymbals, with resounding cymbals, you know, Psalm 150, you know, bang drums, bang gongs, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Not sing tunefully, sing wonderfully, everything in the key of E, please, only. Yeah. It says, let everything. That is you. If you're here breathing today, which I hope you're still breathing, praise the Lord. So I think that's where we'll finish. We're going to finish by worshiping, if that's okay. Let's worship together as a church. Let's give Him our all. And hopefully we can see things the way that Petra saw things, you know, 12 weeks ago when she came to be with us.